God will actually use closed doors, missed opportunities, thwarted plans to actually lead us into His destiny and purpose for our lives. And so my goal is to help you to learn how to handle and what to do in response to your closed doors.
Hello and welcome to Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd. Thanks for spending part of your busy holiday weekend here with us. If you've ever had your heart set on what's through the open door in front of you, and if you've ever had that door slammed in your face, it's a good thing you've joined us for today's message from Pastor Paul, because he wants you to know that it's not always a window God opens. Sometimes it's another door, a bigger and better door that lines up with His will for your life. That's what happened for Ruth, whose story continues today. Stay with us right here if you can, or download the podcast at PastorPaul.net, at Spotify, or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Here's Pastor Paul with today's Destined for Victory message, When One Door Closes.
Ruth chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. When the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the kinsman redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now, I've entitled this message, When One Door Closes, because we all know what it feels like to have a door that you were excited about close in your face. Earlier in the series, we saw that sometimes destiny manifests itself by whispers or nudges. Then we looked at the fact that destiny is sometimes revealed through divine appointments. But as I wrap up this series, I want to examine another way God brings His will to pass in our lives, and that's through allowing doors to close. Imagine that God will actually use closed doors, missed opportunities, thwarted plans to actually lead us into His destiny and purpose for our lives. And so my goal is to help you to learn how to handle and what to do in response to your closed doors. Now, I didn't take the time to read chapter 3, but let me just quickly summarize it. We saw that Ruth met Boaz while she was gleaning in his field. She didn't know who he was. She had just gone praying that God would bless her to find favor in some field owner so that she could glean to provide for herself and her mother-in-law, Naomi. She found herself gleaning in a field belonging to Boaz, who, of course, is a relative of Naomi's deceased husband, Elimelech. So she's met Boaz. Imagine, she went just hoping to glean without being kicked out and persecuted and harmed. She went just hoping to eat. She had no idea she's gleaning in the field of a man she'll be married to in a few months. And you got to learn to live with expectation that God's going to do something. You might not always know in advance what He's going to do, but when you're called according to purpose, know that as you live your life, God is strategically working to bring about His plan. And she's gleaning, but she doesn't know. Soon she's going to own that field. Soon she'll be driving up in her Mercedes. And the harvesters and the foreman going to come running over to her. "Hello, Miss Ruth, how you doing?" She doesn't know that's about to happen, but God is at work. So she's met Boaz, and he's been very favorable to her. In fact, he ended up telling, after she left, he ended up telling the people who work for him, "When you see her coming behind you gleaning, drop her some stuff off on purpose. Leave some stuff that you would normally gather. When you see her coming, say, nah, I'll leave this for her. I'll give her. And she had special favor. Anybody ever seen God give you special favor as you live your life? He just give you those blessings. You don't deserve them. Extra blessings just thrown in. And so she's now gone home, and she told Naomi about this man she met. And Naomi said, oh, you don't know it, but that's one of my husband's relatives. And then we saw Naomi back in chapter 1. This woman doesn't even want to be called Naomi anymore. Y'all remember that? She wants to be called Mara. She wants to change her whole name because she's feeling bitter. All hope is gone. My husband's dead. My sons are dead. We don't know how we're going to make it. But here she is now saying in chapter 3, oh, that's one of my husband's relatives. He could be the kinsman redeemer we need. In that day and culture, when the men of the family were dead, the woman could not own the property in her name. And so she needed a relative to come and to be a kinsman redeemer. And what that means is he would take care of the family. It meant that he would own the property in the name of the deceased man. And he would marry the widow so that she and the posterity of that entire family and bloodline would live on. And so they needed this relative. And she said, that's one of his relatives. And she's finally starting to get a little hope. So she instructs in chapter 3, she instructs Ruth, tell you what, I'm going to send you down there tonight to where he stays. And she set it all up where she would go in. And the bottom line is she would go in while he was asleep and take part of the blanket covering him and put it over part of her. And she was to lay down by his feet so that if he's sleeping north and south, she will lay down east and west. East and west, east and west. Do we have a revelation up in the house? Naomi didn't send her and say, you go north and south with him. You show him what you're working with. Come on, y'all, stop acting like you don't know what I'm talking about. This was God at work. This wasn't flesh at work. You know how folks' relatives would tell him to do today. You go down there, here, put this on, put this on. That's one of your best outfits. No, no. Mother-in-law Naomi said, no, you go, and in our tradition, you cover part of yourself with his blanket, be laying crossways from his feet so that when he sees you there, you're making a request that just as this blanket is covering both of us, I want you to be my coverage. Appropriate moral coverage. Y'all got the picture? I don't need to preach a whole nother 10 minutes on that one point, right? We all got it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Meaning we got to do this God's way, not the fleshly way. Fleshly way is go down there and ring his bell. Stop it. Just stop it. Y'all know what I'm saying. Ring his bell. What did Pastor mean when he said? Thank you. I appreciate the help. Naomi told her how to do this properly. And as a result, she goes down, makes the request, and Boaz says, I'm honored by this request. He said, hey, I am an older gentleman. And he actually says, you're not running down behind these young men in town? Because the younger ones don't have much money as Boaz anyhow. Come on now, I'm speaking for the old men now. Yeah, he might be cute. He got seps and beps and all that kind of stuff. Oh, but we the ones with some cash money. We done worked a long time. Glory, hallelujah. Y'all messing up my message. All right, come on. Here's what you need to understand. Boaz said, I would love to. I'm honored. He said, but there's a relative closer to Elimelech than I. So by our culture, I cannot be your kinsman redeemer unless he turns down the opportunity. But he goes on to say, tell you what, y'all won't have to petition him like you petitioned me. I'll take it from here. He didn't even want to put her in a position to have to do this with somebody else, especially somebody she's never met. And so he said, I got it from here. So when we get to chapter 4, when we get to our text, Boaz is interceding for Ruth and Naomi. He's running interference. He said, I'll handle this. And he goes to this relative, meets him, and calls some of the town elders together. And they had this discussion, talk about the need for Ruth and Naomi to have a kinsman redeemer. And he says to this man, whose name we don't even know, text just calls him he. So he says to he, tells him the situation and says, so if you want to be the kinsman redeemer, you have the right to ensure that their needs are taken care of. And the name of Elimelech moves on. His bloodline is secure through you. You have the right. And at first the man says, okay, sounds good. And then Boaz just wants to be clear. Says, now, you know that when you agree to this, it means you will have to marry Ruth. It means that you will then become their full covering, full responsibility. He said, oh, no, then wait a minute. No, because I got my own estate. I got my stuff together, and I don't want to mess up my, I don't want to divide my interests. He starts thinking selfishly. And he says, no, I like the way I have things laid out. I'm not going to do that. Now, I want to pause there. We know the story ends great. But pause, because at this moment, Naomi and Ruth know nothing about how this is going to be secured.
We'll be right back with more of today's Destined for Victory message from Pastor Paul Shepherd, Senior Pastor at Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. Listen to the broadcast on demand at PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net. And there you'll find a host of great resources at our online store. Well, Pastor Paul will join me in the studio after today's message, so stay right here. But first, let's join him for the second half of this message, When One Door Closes.
What do you do when you hear that somebody who could help you says no? What do you do when you go for the loan and they say no? What do you do when you go through 2-3 interviews for the job and the word comes back no? What do you do when you think you got a good deal on a good property and they come back and say, sorry, somebody else got the bid? What do you do when a job promotion is posted and you go for it and you think you're the best suited and you hear, no, somebody else got it? I want to talk you through how we as people of destiny are supposed to handle the no's, the missed opportunities, the times when what we were dreaming about happening does not happen. What do you do in a relationship when you think this is working good? This must be the one that we're going to get hooked up and it's going to be great. And next thing you know, they are not so interested anymore. We've been there. Some of y'all been there now. You got it on your church clothes and your Bible, but you've been there. Been there. What do we do when opportunities and dreams slip through our fingers and somebody says no? You go for the refi on your house so you can get your mortgage down to a manageable area and they deny you, seemingly for no legitimate reason. Well, I came to tell you that God wants you to stay hopeful, stay in faith, stay in the right frame of mind. Because when one door closes, God's got something else. He's going to line up for you. I came to tell somebody, your destiny isn't behind door number one. And when door number one is locked in your face, your destiny is eternally separated from you. Not so. Because God will never leave your destiny in the hands of somebody else. He will never let that bank cause you to go under because they wouldn't give you the loan you wanted to get or the refi package you wanted to get. That job will not keep you from your destiny because they won't give you the promotion or the job you're interviewing for. They turn you down. I want to tell you, make sure you don't start practicing stinking thinking. Make sure, don't allow yourself to practice stinking thinking. Write that down or tweet that out to your friends. You know what kind that is. That's the kind Naomi was practicing back in chapter 1. I don't believe I left home full when I'm coming back empty. I don't believe God is, his hand is against me. She actually accused God of being against her. When you're a child of destiny, God couldn't possibly be against you. He redeemed you for his own purposes. And every promise of God for your life is yes. God knows what he's up to in your life, and he who began that good work will bring it to completion. So don't begin to practice thinking. We got to help church folk understand that the God we serve is greater than the challenges you face. Your challenges can be great, but your God is greater. Your trouble can be great, but your God is greater. The things that seem to be opposing you are there. But if God be for you, who can be against you? God is bigger and better than anything you face. You got to understand that David saw that back in his day. Remember when he wasn't even old enough to be in the army, but he went out there to bring supplies to his brothers, and he saw everybody out there cowering in fear because Goliath, a giant, a warrior, was standing out there defying them, cursing their God. And he said, just bring your best out here and let us fight. We don't even have to have two armies fighting. You just bring your best man out here. And they all stand there. Somebody better go. And David came out bringing supplies to his brothers. He looked around and said, what's the matter with y'all? He said, just shut up. You ain't even old enough to be in the army. This ain't none of your business. He said, how y'all going to let this uncircumcised Philistine stand out here and talk about us and about our God like that? Somebody need to go out there and kick his behind. They said, just shut up. Just going back home. He ain't supposed to be out here in the first place. And David said, fine, y'all won't do it, I'll do it. And you know the story. I'm not preaching on him, but you know what happened. This lad went out there and said, you are coming out here on the basis of your experience and your size and all of that, your bravado, Goliath. You are scaring them, but you don't scare me, because I'm coming to you in the name of the God I serve. And a lad who wasn't old enough to be in the army, God used him to kill an experienced warrior and win the victory. That's what you got to understand. You are that David for your life circumstances. When the Goliaths stand up against you, you got to say, I'm not coming to you on the basis of who I am. I'm coming to you on the basis of the God I serve. And so you got to get all stinking thinking out of your mind. Don't let yourself get into nobody knows the trouble I see. Come on. I know that the folk, they were trying to express where they really were. But you are not a Negro spiritual. You are a person of destiny. Doesn't matter that they don't know the trouble I see. God knows the trouble I see. And God is able to get me the victory, and he will give me the victory. So when one door closes, I don't get into stinking thinking. You gotta have a victory mindset. You gotta stop giving credibility to the things that come against you and start magnifying the greatness of your God. I want to tell all minorities, stop getting mad because the majority in whatever culture you're dealing with, stop getting mad that they seem to be in control and running things and we can't ever get our fair share and all that stuff. Forget all that. That's stinking thinking. If God be for me, I'm coming out on top. I don't care what systems are against me. If God wants to give you a particular job, he'll make somebody who hates your guts give you that job, and they won't even know why. How does Joseph, who is not even an Egyptian, he is a felon in jail serving time for attempted rape. That's what your Bible says. And Pharaoh says, I need somebody to interpret this dream. Now, meanwhile, Joseph thought his hope was in the butler, the cupbearer of the king, who, remember when he was in jail with Joseph, Joseph interpreted his dream. He was so grateful. And he said, what can I do for you? Joseph said, hey, when you get out, and you're getting out in 3 days because God has shown it to me in a dream. When you get out, I want you to remember me to Pharaoh. Remember that? Tell him I'm innocent. Tell him I'm a man of God. Tell him what I did for you. Tell him God gave me a word of knowledge, interpretation, a dream down here. That my God is real, and that I ain't try to rape that woman. Tell him and get me out of here. And the Bible says the man got back in the throne room, got his job restored, and he forgot all about Joseph. You ever done a world of stuff for somebody? And when you need them to do one thing for you, Oh, I wish I had some real people up in here. You need them to do one thing. I ain't ask you for your firstborn. I ask you to tell somebody about my situation. When that man forgets, your challenge is to not allow yourself get into stinking thinking.
Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Be encouraged today. Go about the business of serving and loving God and others. Some doors will open, some will close. But as you follow God and draw ever closer to Him, you'll discover that some of His greatest gifts are closing doors. Pastor Paul joins me now from his studio in California. Well, we've just celebrated Thanksgiving, and it's a time for us to count our blessings, Pastor. But if we're being honest, this has not been the greatest of years, a tough year for many. Remind me, why is it important for us to be thankful, even in times like this?
I think being thankful is one of the fundamental values that we learn. And I learned it as a toddler, and I think most people did. You know, your parents teach you very early on, especially being a little church kid and having folks walk up to me and give me something, candy or a nickel or something like that. And your parents teach you from the very beginning, make sure to say thank you. And that lesson is one of those bedrock principles that we should build our lives on. So now that we're all grown and living our lives, we need to go back and remember no one owes you anything. And so it's good to be thankful just as a matter of lifestyle, but especially as we think about how good God has been to us, even through our trials, even through our difficulties, God has been good. During this year of pandemic, God has been faithful and helped us get through some very challenging times, and we owe him a lot of thanks. So I think that these are days when we need to take advantage of this built-in holiday of Thanksgiving and to make sure we're grateful to the Lord. In fact, in this month's encouragement letter, I mention one of 10 lepers who returned to Jesus. He healed 10 of them, but only one thought to go back and to worship him and give him thanks. I think that's the way we ought to live our lives, like that one leper, and make sure God knows how grateful we are.
And how thankful we are that we have God and the Lord to lean on during a time of pandemic and epidemics, right?
Absolutely true. In fact, one of my favorite three-sentence scripture passages is where Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and he said, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks." If we'll do that, I think God will be pleased and our lives will be richer because of it.
Thanks, Pastor. A great reminder that God is good all the time. Well, before we let you get on with the rest of your Thanksgiving weekend, here's a quick reminder. As our way of saying thanks for your generous donation, we'd like to send you a book called 30 Days to Taming Worry and Anxiety. Written by Deborah Smith Spagaze, this book is a great resource to help you discover how to deal with the stress life often tries to bring our way. That's 30 Days to Taming Worry and Anxiety, our gift to you today by request for your generous gift to Destined for Victory. Just call us at 855-339-5500 to give over the phone. Or visit PastorPaul.net to make a safe and secure online donation. You can also mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538.
What in the world are you doing by the window waiting for somebody to sing you his song? You got no business by the window, and especially waiting for somebody to sing you his song. If you hook up with somebody, chances are he can't sing.
That's next time in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, When One Door Closes. Until then, remember, He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.